This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathiran kathira. Fama ba'du. It's an interesting thought about whether Uhud was a defeat or a victory. Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyah rahmatullahi says that Uhud was a victory for the Muslims because it is a gold mine of lessons. Now this is not wishful thinking, this is not, you know, just trying to do a PR exercise to take a defeat and say no, but you see we won. It's not a question of that. This is the actual understanding and assessment of what constitutes victory and defeat. A physical victory, of course, obviously the Sahaba didn't go there to lose and learn lessons, they went there to win, and that didn't happen. But even if they had won, it would have meant winning, getting some booty, going home. But with the lessons that came with this particular incident, episode, those lessons, we are learning from them to this day, 1400 years later, and this will continue as long as people are interested in learning from history. So Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyah rahmatullahi alayhi, he enumerates several lessons. Now, the first thing that I want to say is the importance of studying history. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in the Quran. So this is the first point that I, first lesson that I want to remind myself and you about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَدْ قَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ سُنَنٌ فَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ هَذَا بَيَانٌ لِلنَّاسِ وَهُدًى وَمَعِزَةٌ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ Allah said, many similar ways and mishaps of life were faced by nations, believers and disbelievers, that have passed away before you, as you faced in this battle of Uhud. So travel through the earth and see what the end of those people was who disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This, the Quran, is a plain statement for mankind, a guidance and instruction for those who are al-muttaqoon. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that it doesn't end with this. It is a matter of learning from that going forward in life. Second lesson is not to lose hope if defeated. Allah said, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحَزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ Allah said, don't become weak against your enemy and don't become sad. Don't be depressed, don't despair. And you will be superior in victory if you are indeed true believers. So, this is clearly, it means that what is happening right now is not the end, because we don't believe this life itself is the end. As far as we are concerned, this life is one stage of our journey from the ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Jannatul Firdaus, insha'Allah. This is one of the interim stages. This is not an end in itself. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, whatever happens in this life, and this refers to victory as well as defeat. Now in defeat it is easier to accept this, in victory usually we are so happy about what happened that most people don't learn any lesson, which is a loss, because all life experience is potential learning. So Allah says that because you are hurt, because you have suffered a loss, don't become weak and don't become sad, don't despair, don't say, oh, Fanta, you know, we lost and this and no. Allah said, you will be superior if you are believers. So think about this, that this was revealed after Uhud when the Muslims had been defeated. This shows that superiority in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has nothing to do with material wealth or temporal power. The ayat of Surah Al-Imran, where Allah said, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْحَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُ نَبِاللَّهِ. This ayat, Allah said, you, the true believers in Islam, and the real followers of the Sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ, are the best of people ever raised up for the benefit of mankind, and you enjoin al-ma'ruf, which is Islam, and you forbid al-munkar, which is all that Islam has forbidden, and you believe in Allah. Now, this ayat was revealed after the worst defeat that the Muslims had suffered in the time of Rasulullah ﷺ, which was in Uhud. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to them, do not ever lose hope if you are defeated. All of these are stages in the journey, they are interim stages in the race to achieve victory, and that victory is not defined in a temporal or political sense. That victory is defined by whether or not we gained the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the pleasure of Allah. Third one is the outlook towards life. Allah said, إِنْ يَمْسَسْكُمْ قَرْهٌ فَقَدْ مَسَّ الْقَوْمَ قَرْهٌ مِثْلُ وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ وَلِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَاءُ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ وَلِيُمَحِّصَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَيَمْحَقَ الْكَافِرِينَ أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَنْ تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا مِنْكُمْ وَيَعْلَمَ الصَّابِرِينَ وَلَقَدْ كُنْتُمْ تَمَنَّوْنَ الْمَوْتَ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ تَلْقَوْهُ فَقَدْ رَأَيْتُمُوهُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ. Allah said, if a wound or somebody died had touched you, be sure that a similar wound or death has touched the others. So you suffered a loss, they also suffered a loss. You suffered wounds, they suffered. You suffered people, some of your people were killed, some of their people were killed. And so are the days, good and not so good, we give to men by turns. Tilka layyamu nuzawiluha. Times turn. These good times and so-called bad times happen to everybody. That Allah may test those who believe, and that He may take martyrs from among you. And Allah does not like the zalimun, He does not like the wrongdoers. And the worst of wrongdoing is shirk. And that Allah may test or purify the believers from sins and destroy the people who deny. Do you think that you will enter Jannah before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests those of you who fought in His cause, and also test those who are as-sabirin, the people who are patient and constant, and people who have courage? You did indeed wish for death, yani shahada. You asked for death before you met it. Now you have seen it openly with your own eyes. So this is another lesson. Now this lesson has several sub-lessons, so let me talk to you about that. The first one, of course, in this is that to be patient, to have sabr. If something bad happens to you, it is not as if this is something unique. Similar things happen to others before you. Just as you suffered defeat here, the Quraysh suffered defeat in Badr a year ago. If that didn't make them lose hope, your defeat should not make you lose hope either, since you look forward to rewards from Allah, which they don't. Right, so this is the message being given to the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Alayhim Ajmain, who survived Uhud. And this is the message for all of mankind, especially for Muslims till the end of time. Never lose hope. Be patient. Something bad happens to you, it happens to others also. So it's not that. And they still don't lose hope, even though they don't look forward to the Akhirah. What right do we have to lose hope when we look forward to the Akhirah? Number two, conditions alternate. تِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Allah said, the conditions will alternate among the people. Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi again says, it was the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His sunnah with His prophets and their followers that they would once win and they would once lose, but in the end, they are victorious. Alternating conditions are essential to distinguish those who have faith from those who don't have faith. If the believers always win, then others would join them for that reason, not because they believe or not because of sincerity of faith, but because, you know, jump onto the bandwagon. And then, of course, it would not be clear who's sincere and who's not sincere about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Islam and Islam. And if the Muslims always lose, then the objective of sending the prophets would not be served. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has alternated conditions to test both the believers and the non-believers. And we see this in the lives of almost all the Anbiya alayhi wasalam. So it's not just a matter of, you know, if you take Musa alayhi salam's life, for example, which is perhaps the most detailed documented life in the Quran, many situations where once he is victorious and another time he is not, and so on. Third is, so Allah may make evident those who believe. So Uhud separated the Muslims from the Munafiqun, because it is the final test of laying down your life for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is the where the true distinction and the true sincerity towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is made. So this is what happened in Uhud. Also in Uhud, thanks to the Munafiqun and, you know, all the kinds of statements they made, things they said, it became clear who was sincere and who was not. Because right from the beginning, the 300 of them, they left Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they followed Ubay bin Salul, and they left Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam right in the beginning itself. So his army was reduced by 33%, by one third. So these things became clear. Right? If Uhud had not happened, these people were living among them, they didn't know who was who. But now with Uhud, this became clear. Number four, to take unto himself shuhada. Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullah, again he says, that shahada is the greatest status among the awliya, immediately after al-anbiya and siddiqeen. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Allah took to himself the shuhada. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the shaheed and draws him close to himself. But how can there be shuhada if Allah does not allow the enemy to kill some of the Muslims? So how are people going to achieve shahada except through the hands of the enemy? Because if one Muslim kills another, Rasulullah said both are in Jahannam. Because if you are fighting, then the reason you died was because you were a bad fighter, not because your intention was better. But if you got attacked by somebody and you didn't fight, and of course this other person is not a Muslim, or in the case of even if it's a Muslim, but he attacks you for some reason which is where you are justified to resist him, then if you die, then you are a shaheed. So Allah takes to himself shuhada. It's not that Allah randomly kills people, but also the shuhada, these are the sahaba and to this day people who go they went to fight in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their intention was they made dua for shahada fi sabilillah, and this is what they got. So what was that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Point number 5, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may purify the believers through trials. And this is another very important thing, that it's like cleaning something with an abrasive. So all the dirt gets cleaned up. Again, Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves some of his slaves so much that he has reserved high places for them in Jannah, but the deeds of the slave are not sufficient to reach there, so he achieves this through trials and tests in this dunya so that he can achieve his status in Jannah. Since the test comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to qualify the believer for his place in Jannah, Allah also helps him in the test. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted some of the sahaba Jannah by defeat in Uhud to purify them. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who Allah loves the most, he tests the most. But I always make dua for khair, that Ya Allah, please don't test us. Don't test me, don't test us. You know what I am, and I am weak, and we are weak, and give us Jannah without the test. This is, of course, dua for khair and afia, which I always make. Point number 6. To also defeat and destroy the enemies. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now again, this is a very interesting point to understand, because on the face of it you see that some of the people who are against the truth and who are oppressors and who are, you know, they seem to get away with it. You know, they, to this day, there are things happening right now as we speak, where it does not look like the people committing genocide and the people who are oppressing others and so on and so forth are ever going to pay a price in this life. It doesn't look like that. Of course, we have no idea about the future, but it looks like they are doing all this and they will continue to do all this and they will get away with it. So Allah dislikes, you know, this is not true because they will not get away with this. They will pay the price. But in order that they should pay the maximum price, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows them to indulge in these transgressions until their fate is sealed. Now the people who attacked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and injured him, that act was the worst possible thing that they could have done. And it will be the hellfire for them eternally, inshallah. But how did they get there? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed his Nabi to be injured at their hands. So also today we see such things happening which are really signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's azab on those people. This is not a sign of those people winning against the believers, winning against those they are oppressing. It's a sign of the azab of Allah, that Allah is not stopping them. Here are people who are rushing into the hellfire and they are not being stopped. Right? They are allowing it, they are being allowed to go into the hellfire. So we need to see things in the right and correct perspective. So when you are seeing people being oppressed, it doesn't mean that the others are winning. They are not winning. They are losing in the worst possible way, because that loss which they are incurring for themselves, there is no escape from this loss. So if somebody is transgressing and is not being stopped, then this is a sign that the doors of Hidayat have been closed for this person. It's a very important point to keep in mind when we see some of the transgressors apparently getting away with what they do. In Surah Al-An'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this specific thing of people becoming arrogant about what Allah gives them and misusing it. Allah said, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when they became oblivious, when they refused to heed warnings, see what Allah is saying, when they refused to heed warnings, Allah did not say we punish them. Allah said when they refused to heed warnings, we showered them with everything they desired. فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. The doors of everything were opened on them. So they wanted money, they got even more money. They wanted political power, they got even more. They wanted military power, they got even more. They wanted, you know, all the luxuries of life, they got whatever they wanted, Allah gave them even more. So they were chasing this stuff, they were warned, this is wrong, don't do it, don't oppress people, don't chase the dunya. They refused to believe that, they refused to accept that. So Allah did not catch them, Allah actually gave them more. So, okay, this is what you want? Okay, go ahead, have more. But just as they became arrogant about what they were given or what they had been given, Allah says, we seized them suddenly by surprise. حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً. Instantly. فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. And then they fell into despair. They were broken in spirit. Somebody asked this question to Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi. They said to him, you say that, you know, good leads to good, bad, evil leads to evil. But in our lives we see something different. We see that people who do evil, nothing happens to them. They are, you know, they enjoy themselves. Life goes on for them. And they seem to be getting more and more. And they are not pulled up. They are not brought to book or something. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah recited this ayat of Surah Al-An'am. And he said, this is the ayah which shows that when you are doing something wrong, and you are not being stopped, you are not getting Hidayah to stop, then it means that the doors of Hidayah have been shut for you. And that Allah's azab has already started on you. May Allah protect us from this. You see, people who don't pray, right? Who don't pray, who will not pray, who will continue to refuse. Even other people are praying, they will just sit there and watch them praying. Muslims, right? Now, this is a direct and the worst disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a direct negation of La ilaha illallah. There is no one worthy of worship except Allah. The person is saying, he claims to say, there is no one worthy of worship except Allah, but he does not worship Allah. The next point is, the defeat also, the lesson in it, is to show that to enter Jannah is not a free ride. For those who thought that Islam is a free ride through defeats and tests and tribulations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing that we need to be prepared to work for Jannah and to pay for it by making choices that may be difficult to do in this life. Who said Jannah is easy? Islam demands commitment and steadfastness. I remember many years ago, one of my teachers, somebody came and said to him, Sheikh, this life is so difficult. So he said, why are you surprised? Life is supposed to be difficult. Because life is a test. Life is a class. We are taking a class. It is supposed to be difficult because you are supposed to learn from this class. Right? I recently attended a two-month immersion program in the Arabic language. Literally, believe me, there were days when I wouldn't actually weep, but I would be, if I could, I would be reduced to tears trying to learn the Arabic language. It's not easy. It's very, very difficult. But is it worth it? If you think it is worth it, then it's worth the trouble. The same thing applies to anything else in life. So here we are talking about what I mentioned to you is this life. Everything ends with my death. But what we are working for, the Akhirah, is a life which is forever. So how much more should we be willing to struggle and to bear and to be strong in to achieve those goals which are forever? So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for ease, we ask Allah for his protection and mercy. Let's not be surprised if there are tests. And if there is a test, then remember a test comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because Allah wants to reward us and therefore Allah will help us in this test and we keep asking for the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Islam demands commitment and steadfastness. Earning is not in a sense of literal and is given only by the mercy of Allah, but Allah wants us to do the utmost that we are capable of in this dunya for the darajat, for the levels in Jannah. Rasulullah said, even I will enter Jannah only with the mercy of Allah. And they asked him, then why should we do good deeds? He said, for the darajat, for the levels in the Jannah, and those will be according to your actions. Last point, the people who missed Badr, they had asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they made dua for Shahada. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, you asked for death, which is Shahada, well, here it is before you. And this shows that though we may have the intentions of something, things may be different when we face that which we ask for. So we might ask for something, but when it happens, so we ask Allah for steadfastness in what we desire. So we ask, we make this dua for ourselves and for others. I remember an amusing incident where somebody was in Hajj with one of the scholars and he kept asking him, he said, Maulana, please make dua that I should die in this state, I should die here during Hajj. So he said, you don't make dua like this, it's not correct, it's to ask for death. He said, no, I want to die in this place because it's so beautiful and so on and so on. So he kept saying, he kept asking, he said, I'm asking Allah and so on. So this scholar, he said, okay, I don't know if he actually made the dua or not, but he said, okay. Now the next day, this man got a fever. So he came running to him, he said, Hazrat, please make dua, not just now, maybe not this trip, maybe another trip. So the question is that, how sincere are we in asking for these things? So very important to understand this, that we ask for something and then when it happens, you want to run away from that. The important thing to understand is that yes, Shahada is the ultimate thing. Alhamdulillah, we ask Allah for Shahada. But remember that living according to Islam is much more, I won't say more valuable than Shahada, but I'm saying that it's more difficult, and also it is sometimes even better than Shahada. And there is the hadith of Rasulullah, where two Sahaba who accepted Islam at the same time, the same day, one died a shaheed and the other one died 1 year later. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu anhu who saw them both in a dream. And he saw the one who died of natural causes a year later entering Jannah much before the one who died a shaheed. So he came to Mr. Salam, he said, Ya Rasulullah, I saw this dream of this person who did not die a shaheed. He is entering Jannah first and the shaheed is entering Jannah after him. Both are getting Jannah, but this one is getting it earlier. So he said, what is the tabir, what is the meaning of this hadith, of this dream? Rasulullah said, why are you surprised? Because this man, he got one more year of good action. So he would have prayed tahajjud, he would have recited, read Quran, he got one more Ramadan, he got all the zikr that he used to do, all the sadaqat and khairat he used to do and so on. So he got all of that 1 year worth of it, more than the other person who died a year earlier. So obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards him for that. So it's not just a matter of saying, Shaheed and I will become Shaheed. Inshallah, if Allah gives us, alhamdulillah, we ask Allah for this. But it is important to understand that Islam is not about living your life any old way and then just dying, one day as a Shaheed. It's a matter of living according to the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Sunnah of Rasulullah throughout our lives. Being good to everybody, spreading goodness all around ourselves, resisting different urges and temptations throughout life. Every day there's a new one. Every day there's a new one. Standing up for the truth, not running away from it. Standing up against falsehood, not running away from that. Right? All the things that help us to. That are, for example, if you look at the things which are sadaqa jariya, good children you raise who are faithful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, spreading knowledge, whatever you know, teaching that goodness that comes from that, and then doing actions which are of an ongoing nature, whether it is donating money for that or working for that or something, actions of good, so which are beneficial to everybody. Right, so including things like digging wells and hospitals and schools and so on, but any kind of action doesn't have to be. You might say, I don't have the money to build a hospital. No, help one person. The simplest principle: you can't feed 100, feed one. You can't build a whole hospital. Help one person who's in need. So the whole thing in this is to try to do the best that we can do. To the extent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the ability to do it. In conclusion, what I want to say is we must not get distracted by what we see happening around us. What we need to focus on is my actions, my speech. Is this correct? Is this in line with the Sharia and Sunnah? Is it in line with the Ahkam of Allah, the orders of Allah, and the Sunnah of His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam? And as long as that is true, we must continue to take action, to stop oppression, to go against injustice, no matter where it is done. If we need to do that at the individual level, we must do it collectively, and we must not allow anyone or anything to discourage us from doing that. What is also very important, which we learn from this Uhud, is the importance of staying together. This is what the Munafiqeen did. They tried to split the Muslims. This is what Abu Sufyan did. Abu Sufyan bin Harb, later on he became Muslim, radiallahu anhu. But at that time, he came and he sent a message to the Ansar of Medina, and he said to them, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he is our cousin, this is our fight, leave us alone to finish this fight. You don't come into it. So he's trying to split them. Right? Today, we see this happening all over the place. And sadly and tragically, we Muslims fall into this, that we get divided amongst ourselves. And obviously, any division within ourselves is for the benefit and it benefits the enemy. So we must learn to live together, to work together, and to face the outside world as one. I'm not saying we have to necessarily not differ with one another in our thinking, in our methodology, but that difference has to be inside. We talk amongst ourselves in a decent way, in a way that is full of love and goodness, but to the world, external world, we present a unified face in which there is benefit for everybody. Islam came to benefit everyone, and that is the principle that we should follow. We will work to benefit everyone. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ